You know, when are we not thankful? When bad things happen? When we are low in our spirits? Hurt? Sorry? When we think it's our effort, so why do I have to thank anybody? Correct? What do you think? I worked hard. I deserve what I've got. Why do I need to thank God? We need to be careful of a spirit of entitlement. I deserve it. God needs to be good to me. Does he? It says we were once objects of his wrath. What is wrath? Anger. He says, but now, because of Jesus, we have now become objects of his love. So everything we get is pure grace. Even if you've worked, the boss can overlook you. Doesn't that happen? But it is his loving kindness that we get what we get. So let us always be thankful. Also, when you recognize who is giving it to you and you realize how big this God is, then you are in awe of him. We were just talking about it at the breakfast table. And sometimes when we lose that dimension of the awe of God, we forget that we need to be thankful. That anything he gives us is praiseworthy and worthy of giving him thanks. You know, otherwise we treat him casually. Are, he's there to serve me, no? We treat God like that. But you say, God, you are holy, you are worthy, and whatever you give me, God, I am thankful and I am grateful. So let's stand, let's worship, let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and be with us this morning. This is very odd. Just give me a second. Jesus, we want to thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We never want to take it for granted. We never want to think that we ever deserve it, but recognize that everything is your goodness and your mercy that follows us and surrounds us, Jesus. So let us, we want to lift our hearts in thanksgiving and worship to you this morning. Amen.
Praise awaits you in this place today, O Lord. We are gathered ready, God, to sing your praise. Ready to respond to the
तुझ में मेरी हर सांस, तुझ में मेरी सुबह, तुझ में
resurrection means our right.
So many things to thank God for. Yeah, it's just good. Stay in His presence. It's fine. Let's take a couple of minutes, moments. Think of all the good things He's done. You know, when the angels and the elders were overwhelmed, there was a moment of silence in heaven because they were just so awestruck. Thank you, God. Thank you. This is a good time to come to the breaking of bread so we can sit, please. Reading from 1 Corinthians 11, 25, a very commonly read verse at this time or at this juncture of a Sunday morning. It says, drink of this cup of the new covenant. You know, that's what he said. In the same way, after he took the cup, he said, drink, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And there are so many things that we can remind ourselves of when we think of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And today I'd like us to focus on two things in keeping with redemption. Okay, the cross has redeemed us. Redeemed us from what? We were once in bondage to the devil because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Okay? Jesus needed to buy us back. How could he buy us back? The only perfect sacrifice once and for all was his sacrifice on the cross. And he redeemed us. He could go down to Hades and say, they're mine. He had the right to do that. Okay? God had created this perfect place called Eden. Until today, you'll see, you know, I just passed something called Eden Spa. And Eden is associated with a place of bliss, perfection, happiness. And that is indeed what it was. You know, it was called Eden. People now associate it with that, and rightly so. And in that garden, as you all know, there were two trees. And God gave Adam and Eve a command not to eat of one tree. He says, do not eat of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know what happened. And they did. Yeah? What does that signify? He said, you will die if you eat from that tree. It signifies self-will, self-rule, wanting to become God, or wanting to have knowledge and wisdom apart from God. But the knowledge and wisdom that we get from disobedience is corrupted. It's twisted. It's contorted. They didn't become like God. They became like their new slave master. And their thoughts and their heart got corrupted, just like Satan, exactly like Lucifer. And then God had always had salvation plan in motion. And so God put a barrier, and he said he drove them out of that garden. And then we see several thousands of years later, in a similar garden, the second Adam did not give in to his will. But what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. and he redeemed that. Hallelujah. He did that. He overcame. He was a conqueror. That tree that brought death in the garden on the cross, that tree, through his redemption, brought us life eternal. And let us celebrate that this morning, that we are redeemed. We are redeemed. Our Savior has redeemed everything, and he can redeem everything in your life. He says, I'm making everything new. It's a new covenant. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. He says, behold, I am making everything new. Everything in our lives can be redeemed because he is a redeeming God. He says, the years the locusts have eaten, he says, I can restore. What was lost can be found. So let us thank God for his redemption. And you know what? Finally, in Revelations 22, 1 to 3, there is a garden there. There is a garden there where it says, you know, there's life and there's trees and there's a ever-flowing river. And it's a beautiful picture. You can read it at home. And God makes everything right because of his sacrifice on the cross. So let's just pray. And then, Father, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, not just to die, but to redeem us from the curse of sin and the death sentence that was over each one of our heads, God. Thank you that you purchased us with your precious blood so that we can enjoy eternal life. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, and you have not put your faith in Jesus as your only Savior, then I would request you to let the elements pass by.
Do you have all your magical